up in this bitch. Why I gotta die? Children gotta cry.
Hey, what's up? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast, the world's best sort of movie podcast. I'm Vince Mancini from FilmDrunk.com. We got most of the crew here. We got Brett calling in from New York.
Hello.
That's Brett. That's what his voice sounds like.
And it's my voice.
We've got San Francisco's
favorite
comedian, according to SF Weekly's
favorite list that was made by no one.
Matt Lieb.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
Hi, how are you?
You'll make it someday.
You know, one day I will be on their SF Weekly's favorite list of favorites.
I think, yeah. I mean,
it's an inevitability.
You're on the SF Weekly's favorites list of my heart.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool that your heart has its own publication.
It does. It goes
specifically for San Francisco.
Its distribution goes all the way to my veins.
Nice. Does your heart have a New York Times?
No.
Oh, no. What about a Wall Street?
My heart is not that big. It's not that important.
It's a little heart.
You guys, we got a pretty great show for you today. We got lots of stuff to talk about. We all saw Do the Right Thing, which we've been meeting to revisit for some time. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I wanted to talk about the Shia LaBeouf plagiarism.
Oh, yeah, that's
gate,
great.
Because I think that was very interesting.
That was.
We got some bad voicemails. We got a couple Australian clips. We got the lacrosse all name game. Did I say that yet?
Nope.
No. Brendan may or may not show up. He told me he doesn't know when he's going to be here. He may or may not show
up.
I don't know.
The next round of the name game happened?
No, not yet.
Oh, that's taking forever.
Well, and we also have Burnsy.
Name game's over.
We also have Burnsy coming on to talk his list of worst movies of the year.
Burnsy.
Which he sat through, amazingly. He's going to have to defend to me why he doesn't think that Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III is the worst movie of the year, when I think it's probably the worst movie of the last 5 years, wow, easily. Like, I just watched it in 10-minute chunks because it would make me so angry that I'd have to get up and go for a walk. That's how bad it was.
Damn.
Yeah.
That sounds bad.
And I just sat there going, ugh!
Was it meant to be
like
that
an orgasm, but not good?
Was it meant to be like that? Maybe you just don't understand the artist's intention.
No, I just don't understand Coppola children, why they keep fucking torturing us with their movies.
Oh, that was a Coppola child? Is it Sophia?
No, it's Roman. But I also saw The Bling Ring, which was pretty close to that. That might make my worst of 2013 list also.
Do the Coppola children ever make good movies?
You know, yeah, I'm not one of those people who hates Lost in Translation. I like a lot of things about it. I think it's like sort of overrated by people who like it, but I don't think it's a bad movie. I thought it was good except for the ending.
Yeah. Well, everyone loves the ending. You mean the part where you're like, you don't hear what he says?
Yeah, she kind of does that horse shit where it's like, oh, it's so subtle. And you're like, no, she just didn't actually make any narrative choices. And she kind of does that like in almost all of her movies.
Oh, I see. It's all up to interpretation.
Yeah, which is okay.
That's good writing. That's just good writing is what that is. Yeah.
If you do it deliberately, that's one thing. But I think she just does it like as an excuse for not having anything to say, really.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Godfather movies, still the best.
Yeah.
Have you seen those movies?
I haven't seen them in a while.
No, as a film critic, those are your favorite movies, right?
Godfather? No.
Godfather 1?
No.
Is your second favorite movie. Next to Godfather 2, your first favorite movie.
This is probably blasphemy, but
I swear to God.
I feel
Vince,
a much stronger connection with Goodfellas than I do with either of the Godfather movies.
Dumb.
Because I feel like Scorsese is more... He definitely has more of a comedian sensibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's funnier.
It's funnier. Yeah.
But...
I've seen Casino and Goodfellas like a billion times.
Yeah.
And I've seen the Godfather movies a couple of times. They're
not even comparable,
as much.
Bro.
Yeah.
Godfather's the best movies.
Best movies. Brett, any thoughts?
Leo Moses Spornstar won the name thing.
Oh, what the... You're not supposed to do that now? We're going to do that? Later.
Oh! You didn't mention it in the thing.
You made Ben's cancer come back because we were going to wait till Ben was here because he was on the name game.
Wait a second. You can go back and delete it. Can't you? What he just said.
You didn't even say that was going to be a thing, and then you glossed over it like it hasn't been over for a month.
I purposely glossed over it.
Well, I can't tell if you're purposely glossing or if your gloss has intention.
I was glossing. This is like a Seinfeld episode right now.
I was also going to say that's a good segue on her intentionally not having anything to say or just straight up not having anything to say with the Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
Hold on. I need to find that on the soundboard. This is our.
If you tell me what the order of things were, we could have that ready.
This is our extended riff on Shia LaBeouf's name.
No, Shia LaBeouf is going to tell you about how it's important that someone is peeing on a lawn somewhere.
Shia LaBeouf? What the fuck?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
Shia LaBeouf and Bono.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia
LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shwalabua.
Yeah.
You guys sounded like you're having fun.
We were probably a few drinks deep that night.
That sounds like a good night.
Yeah.
Shwalabua. But no, he's insane.
He is.
Yeah, he's a pathological liar. That's what it is.
You know what? Can we come back to this? Can we table this?
Yeah, let's table.
God.
Sorry. Is that all right, Brett? Can you handle that?
Yeah, I can deal with it.
Okay. Because Burnsy, I got him out. You know, he's playing Zelda. He's got stuff.
You got stuff to do. He needs to just say his list and get on with it.
I don't want him.
We have Burnsy doing lists now?
Yeah. Well, he made a
list. Laramie's thing. We've got our gifts all fucked up.
Look, Brett, you know, I can either do my job.
I'd like to know what order the segments are going to go in. I want to know the conclusion to names. And I like our guests to do one thing and one thing only every week.
Look, Brett, I can either write.
You like that, Brett?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's
you do.
Your thing.
That's my thing.
All right.
That's how I know it's you.
All right.
Yeah, otherwise, who am I? I'm one thing.
Are you doing? Okay. Well, let's get Burnsy on the line, on the horn. What is the origin of that phrase, on the horn?
Probably has to do with phones looking like horns back in the day.
So it's not that deep.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because like they had like a bell, the way like a French horn.
The ear bell for your ears.
Right. The way a French horn has a bell. Mm-hmm. So like, get them on the horn.
Mm. Oh, right. So it's like a French horn.
Toot some saxophones.
Or euphonium.
Don't you think like a French horn, based on the name, would be a horn that you play by tonguing?
God, that,
I could see that.
Yeah. Begrudging acceptance from Brett. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's B-set material. Like, if you're going over and you hadn't really planned that far, I guess you can bring that one out when they're giving you too many minutes.
Mm. Burnsy, are you there? Damn it. He's not there.
No, I heard it.
No, that's the construction workers outside, I
think. Oh.
Did they have a list?
Worst movie number one. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do a Mexican accent. Number two. All right, I'm done.
I got a movie for you. Look out. It's not The Predator because that is good. No, we are talking bad movies.
Stop it.
Oh, did you see The Hangover? Oh, it's so bad. Hey.
I like how Vince just stalls with mild racism. Just like, I don't know, we got time to fill.
It's an old comedy trick.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right. So, I guess we'll just wait till he shows up. Until then,
how was your day?
Oh, you guys, I forgot to tell you that Matt Lieb, he's got an Argyle sweater vest.
Oh yeah.
And instead of his normal, you know, big Jeffrey Dahmer style glasses, he's got like the smart eye glass frames.
Yeah.
And he's like, I went to a job interview. And he basically looks like if he was trying to get cast in a movie as guy who just came back from a job interview.
Yeah. I bought these clothes at Ross right before I had the job interview because I haven't done laundry in a while.
Was the job at Ross?
It was at Ross. Like, I bought it.
You're trying to dress the part?
Yeah. I just wanted them to know that I am a frequent customer and that I appreciate that I can dress for less. And that
this is your attempt to dress for less.
Yes.
So how do you feel? Do you feel good about the job?
Yeah, I thought the interview went well. It wasn't really at Ross. It was at some company that need not be named. And yeah, I felt like it was good. The guy, you know, I talked to a bunch of people. They were all like, they're pretty much all like that fake guy on the bus, the Google bus guy who didn't actually exist.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were that, except for like, you know, nicer.
Okay.
You know, they're dressed kind of the same and whatnot. They're basically just like everyone in the city. You really can't tell like tech guys from like, you know, artist coffee shop assholes. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them apart, except for like one might be a little bit more.
Yeah, one sweater is more expensive.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But they have the same glasses.
Yeah, they had, you know, a couple of them had these glasses that I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that maybe they'd be like, oh, he is one of us. And Google.
I just really wanted this job because my objective is to work for you, sir, forever. Forever.
I will work over 60 hours a week and dedicate myself to writing internal content and outward-facing content for the client.
Are you a B2B? Because I have experience with B2B-style businesses.
Look, I'm just saying, if we would have went with my schedule on the podcast, we wouldn't be having to do this voice now. We could just stop doing this voice and talk about...
Why can't you just let us be? B2B!
I have a lot of special skills.
I'm proficient in Word and in PowerPoint. Fuck you, Brett!
I made a spreadsheet about how I love you.
All right. Where's Bernsey?
He's here. Isn't he? It's calling him.
Sweet. That's halfway there.
Yeah.
We're halfway there. Whoa!
Where's fucking Bernsey?
Yo.
Hey, can you turn yourself down just a notch? Like a smidge?
Just a scooch.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's good. Oh,
yeah.
I miss that baritone.
Now let's turn the lights down.
Sucking
each other's balls. That's why I don't sing.
Yeah, well, you know, all right, for the listeners out there, we got Ashley Burns on the line. He just released his list of the 10 worst movies of 2013.
I blew that salty shit all over your chests.
You did. And, you know, it seems like you had a lot of rules about which ones you could and couldn't pick for worst of the year.
Gotta have rules.
What are some of your rules?
Number one, first and foremost, no Sandler or Happy Madison anymore.
You think
can't do it.
Just because you don't want to watch them or it's just too easy?
Yeah, it's fun. I still watch them because it's like morbid curiosity at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's not fair to anybody else.
I feel like I should watch some of Adam Sandler's movies just to make sure they are what I think they are. Are they what I think they are?
I'll tell you right now. If you sit down and watch Grown Ups and then Grown Ups 2 back to back, like, I mean, first of all, you're going to hate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, like, it's going to be everything you expect. It's just anything that he does. Like, the best example is That's My Boy was nothing but an hour and a half or so of cutting room floor jokes from other movies.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And you could tell the best part about that movie, if you watch it, is you try to pick where you can tell which jokes were from other movies.
Like other Happy Madison movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like you could tell that there was stuff left over from Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Like I feel somewhat bad ripping on them without seeing them because, you know, I was surprised by Grandma's Boy, but at the same time, like I see the chocolate wasted scene, and I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah,
there's no way that makes the trailer at a movie that's anything
right.
but
exactly.
terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Grown Ups was just like a vacation for them.
Yeah,
and it was a group of friends got together, and all they did was they told the jokes for 2 hours that they think are funny.
But do you think they think they're funny? Because I feel like they're pandering to some idea that they have of the family demographic. Like I'm not sure.
I don't think they're going 100%. Like I don't think they're putting their best effort into it, but I think that they're making each other laugh and then they walk away with $280 million in their pockets.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Apatow thing, except for with people who are past their prime in funniness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Sandler...
Because the Apatow people are... you get the feeling that they're just friends shooting the shit and making movies.
Right.
But they have people like Danny McBride, so it's always hilarious.
It's funny to them, whereas I don't know. I don't know if I can... If I think that Sandler thinks that Chocolate Wasted is funny.
I think the Apatow guys always think that they're more highbrow, and I think that they know they're funny.
Mm.
And the Sandler guys are like, I think they're laughing at you while you're laughing with them.
Yeah.
If anyone's really laughing with them, and there are people, because you know every year I piss people off by saying those movies are horrible.
Yeah, there's always someone that wanders in and is like, dude, Grown Ups 1 and 2 are actually pretty hilarious. And yeah. You're like, no, no.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Go away.
But I haven't seen them. So I feel like Adam Sandler is maybe now kind of equivalent to like. Tyler Perry in that way? Well,
because I mean I include the Madea movies also, because I can't include those. I'm not watching a Madea Christmas.
Yeah. There's
I'm
really
not
no
watching
point.
Larry the Cable Guy and Tyler Perry in a movie together.
Wow. Is it really that pairing?
Yeah. Oh,
man.
It's and they're doing that on purpose. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're dicks. But yeah. At the same time, it also in regard to the Sandler stuff is like I can't include those movies because it's not fair. Like, I go into those movies expecting them to suck.
Yeah.
And for all I know, at some point down the road, they can make Grown Up 7 and it could be good.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer for Blended today, by any chance?
Holy crap, man.
Like, it literally has Drew Barrymore puking or spitting. She's chugging French onion soup with, uh-huh. like, a big cheese. It's like my nightmare. It's like someone just... chewing food at my face and being gross about it in the first 10 seconds of the trailer.
Every person that I sent that trailer to today had the same reaction. Is that fucking Terry Crews?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's paying the bills.
Oh, I don't blame him one bit.
Like, would you turn down... I couldn't turn down an opportunity to be in a Happy Madison movie.
Oh, no. If they called me tomorrow and said, hey, will you write our next movie for us? I'd say absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this one won't be hesitate. Terrible.
You guys are
and
a bunch of sellouts.
Peter Dante would show up and beat the shit out of me.
I think I could take him. Just saying, Dante, if you're out there, let's do this.
Yo, but be careful. He's got a lot of friends.
He's got some bros that are not called bros.
He's friends with Suge Knight.
That's right. Oh shit, I forgot about
Who's
that.
Who's friends with Suge Knight?
Peter Dante. Apparently.
Who the fuck is Peter Dante?
Adam Sandler's friend that likes to say
the guy that plays the stoner,
the N-word to people.
Oh, that dude.
But it's okay because he knows Suge Knight and Nelly.
Jesus. He said he's allowed to say the N-word because he knows Nelly.
Yeah, well, it seems...
That's fair.
I can't argue with that logic. Can you? No. I can't fault it. So,
solid.
So you got no Sandler movies.
No Sandler movies. No Madea.
No Madea.
Which I think last year I said no Tyler Perry but because of Alex Cross, but I couldn't do that this year.
What else? You said no sequels, which would disqualify one of my picks for worst of the year.
Yeah, I can't do sequels because I would have done in 2011. I would have made The Hangover 2 the worst movie of the year.
Yeah,
because I think that's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Period.
It's Hangover 3 makes Hangover 2 look like the fucking Godfather.
Oh, I agree. I actually gave The Hangover 3 a chance because I couldn't believe that I watched Hangover 2 twice. Because I felt like a dick.
I didn't think the individual jokes were that terrible in Hangover 2. Like, the plot was the exact redo of the first, but, like, whatever. Yeah. But I didn't think the individual jokes were horrendous, whereas the third was just, like, in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, nobody that could think this joke is funny enough to put in a movie is going to make anything worthwhile. Mm. You know what I mean?
I didn't see
it. Yeah, it's... I don't know.
But you've seen a movie where you just like it's like that Geico old McDonald doesn't know how to spell commercial joke where it's like I couldn't be friends with a person who would pitch this out loud.
Yeah.
One of those kind of things.
Yeah.
I think I was watching football and that commercial came on and one of my friends laughed at that commercial.
Oh.
Like laughed hard.
Oh God, I might have choked him. I might have choked him out.
I questioned every year of our friendship at that
point. Yeah. Certain things like The Hangover 3, there's the moment where Zach Galifianakis and Melissa McCarthy are supposed to fall in love. Mm-hmm. But before they've even said one word to each other, he just walks in the room and they just start playing the romantic music. Like it's, you know, like it's a...
Right, Love at First Sight.
Yeah, like it's a spoof movie or something, or a commercial.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Where the joke, there's no construction to the joke. It's just like, all right, these guys are in love now.
Yeah.
That's going to be the joke.
Yeah.
Because they're both fat. Yeah. So, of course, they like each other, you know?
They're both freaks.
Yeah.
And freaks deserve to be with other freaks.
You're a big fat person.
Was she a great big fat person?
Okay. What other rules? What other stipulations do you have?
Oh, okay.
Because this is the most interesting part of the cast is, you know, just stipulations and contracts.
Let me think. Okay, no sequels, and then there's no personal vendettas. And that's what kept your.
Why do you think that disliking Charles Swan has anything? How is there? There's no personal vendetta.
No, for me there is. I hate Charlie Sheen so much.
But that's not why.
Like I can't watch Major League anymore, and that was like one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Why do you hate Charlie Sheen? Because he's winning?
Just because of his whole antics.
Because he's winning.
The whole winning thing.
You just
my brother still says winning like all the time, and it just drives me insane.
That sucks.
That's a good reason.
Wait, how old is your brother?
41.
He's an adult?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
That's the kind of people that still say winning is when you're just you're kind of like you get the trimmings of pop culture,
right?
You
know,
just the table scraps.
One of Frankster's gangsters tweeted winning at me.
Oh yeah, of course. They probably said winning hashtag honey badger don't care. And it's like, all right.
Hashtag my wife.
Yeah. All right. So we'll drop some of your list on us. Drop a digit on us.
All right. The one that's been driving me nuts all day, because I always move everything around depending on what mood I'm in during the day. So that's why I was kind of just like, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
But the one that I keep rethinking and thinking that I wanted to make it number one was Safe Haven.
Yeah. Now explain the end scene of that movie.
Oh my God. All right. The twist in this movie is so hilariously bad. And like the
It's Josh Duhamel and
Josh Duhamel plays a widowed father of two.
Right.
And he lives in this podunk little like North Carolina town where he runs a convenience store. And it's like this town, it's one of those movie towns. It's like isolated from the world and it's like 1960s.
Yeah. Where everybody talks on landlines inexplicably.
And not even that. They have like fairs every Friday night.
Yeah, hey, right.
Each other's name, and they all ride bicycles everywhere.
Yeah, and you said the Julianne Hough is in it also, right?
Yeah, Julianne Hough. The movie starts out.
My favorite line of your whole thing was Julianne Hough, who's basically the Josh Duhamel of actresses.
But because they're both such bad actors, but they are beautiful people.
Yeah, and they're just like they're beautiful in the most boring way possible. Where you just look at them, it's like that is a mannequin.
But okay, so the beginning of the movie, you think that you don't know what happened, but Julianne Hough's got a knife, and it's, she's like all bloody. So you think she killed someone.
Uh-huh.
And so she goes on the run. Like she completely just I think she was in Boston or something, and she just completely goes on the run. And moves to that little North Carolina town where she immediately gets a job as a waitress because there's still little diners there.
Mm-hmm.
And she moves in next door to Josh Duhamel, who gives her a bicycle. He's immediately taken by her, and he gives her a bicycle. And she meets Kobe Smulders as her neighbor.
That's such a great name.
So they become BFF. They hang out. She tells her, you know, they talk about boys and stuff. And so she
Kobe's
starts telling
a girl?
What's that?
Kobe Smulders is a girl?
Yeah, the Robin from How I Met Your Mother.
Yo, C. Smold.
Man.
You don't know C. Smold?
I don't know C. Smold. Just Kobe is a boy's name. I'm sorry.
So
go
Ashley.
On. Go on.
So, all right. So they're best friends, and like Julianne Hough spills everything to her, and eventually she starts telling her, you know, how she's falling for Josh Duhamel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then what we find out is that Julianne Hough's was married in Boston, and she left her husband behind because he was an abusive drunk, and he wasn't like. By this point, you're totally thinking to yourself, "This is Sleeping with the Enemy." It's a total ripoff, and it's a book. So I mean, it's a Nicholas Sparks book, but it's a total ripoff of Sleeping with the Enemy.
Is there a Nicholas Sparks book that doesn't involve the protagonist having an abusive ex?
No, it's all like guy comes to the rescue BS. Yeah. Like
pretty much that. I mean, like anytime you need a guy to seem good in a movie, he just wants a chick who's dating an abusive guy. Always.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tyler Perry, Nicholas Sparks. Maybe you should stop beating women, Matt.
My bad.
Okay. So he comes.
So drunk abuser shows up to town, and they're having, like, you know, the 4th of July parade or whatever. So everybody's walking around, and all of a sudden, like, Josh Duhamel's kids love Julianne Hough, and they're like, "What, mom?" And so, like, everything's fine. and so drunk abusive guy sees them, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna kill this bitch because I love her so much." And so he goes after her.
As you do.
Yep.
Fair. And he ends up.
God, I just want to stab you because I fucking love you so much.
So he ends up burning down Josh Duhamel's convenience store.
Oh, awesome.
And then, like, I don't remember if she kills him, but she, like, I think she kills him. I think she kills him, and Josh Duhamel is like, "Oh, I love you because whatever, you weren't a murderer, but now you are a murderer." And so they realize they're in love with each other, and now they don't have to worry about the abusive guy anymore.
Wait a second. It must have been killing in self-defense, though.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't. They didn't plan a murder.
He was trying to burn down the convenience store with her in it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so then she got out, and, like, and I don't remember. The problem is I keep, like, when I think about it, I get it mixed up with Sleeping with the Enemy because I'm like, okay, she shot him, and I think Julianne Hough stabbed him or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But so the ending, the special twist that makes it not a complete ripoff of Sleeping with the Enemy is that at the end, Josh Duhamel has these letters from, like, his wife or whatever that she wrote before she died. And one of them is to the girl that he falls in love with after, like, years down the road. And she wrote this letter that's like, "Oh, if you're reading this, it's because he loves you so much. And that means that I would have your, or he would have my approval," or something like that. And that's when you find out that Kobe Smulders is a ghost.
What?
Her neighbor that she's been best friends and goes on walks with all movie long is a fucking ghost.
That is awesome. Oh.
And the movie's just so—it's so bad because the acting is terrible. You can't stop thinking about Sleeping with the Enemy if you've seen it. And so the whole movie, you're,
I don't,
like,
know what,
oh my
that
God,
is. What is
so
that?
Stupid. And then boom, she's a fucking ghost.
What's Sleeping with the Enemy?
With Julia Roberts and the OCD husband who throws her overboard because she keeps fucking up the hand towels on the boat.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
Is anyone a ghost?
She goes and hides, and he hunts her down and tries to kill her because he loves her.
There's no ghost in that one, though?
No, there's no ghost.
Well, then it's worse.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, there's no ghost.
Yeah, that's kind of the key.
That's how Nicholas Sparks would describe it. He'd be like, "But bro, there's a ghost."
So they fucking totally secret dwarf hookered you with a ghost. And that's why
secret
that one's
door?
Bad. Secret dwarf hooker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, remember that Madonna movie where it was about the little girl and you find out, I think it was called
was that
Orphan.
Madonna?
Yeah. Sixth Sense?
You know, the little girl who looks like Madonna, kind of, and she's like the problem child.
I thought she looked more like Punky Brewster.
Problem child daughter, and then at the end of the movie, you find out she's actually like a secret dwarf hooker, and she's like 30.
She's
like 40 years old.
That's tight.
Yeah.
That's a good twist ending, though.
No, that was an awesome twist ending.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that.
So, this one, secret dwarf hookered you with a ghost. There's that one Robert Pattinson movie where they totally secret dwarf hooker you by telling you that it's been the day before 9/11.
Oh,
the
yeah,
whole time.
I love that.
it's just so crass and vulgar. Yeah.
I love that. It was so awful.
Cut to 9/11.
Cut to 9/11.
Such a shitbag move.
That movie made
surprise,
me
it's 9/11.
For laughing about it.
It was hilarious, though.
How could you write that and not just be like, "Man, I am such a shitbag."
Like if you're just thinking like, "Oh, dude, this is gonna be so fucking deep right here, dude. This is gonna be so meaningful." Like, "Oh, dude, like, can you imagine? Like, it says so much about, you know, you have all this stuff going on in your life, and then fucking 9/11 comes along and puts everything in perspective.
Just change everything that
just
day.
Just fucking change. Fuck, we gotta stand together after this.
I'm gonna make my readers so wet."
All right. There
Vince
was
got a fight with a chick at a bar one time because she told him that he was just jealous that he could never be as successful as Nicholas Sparks.
I didn't get in a fight. I think she just got mad because I was making fun of it.
Yeah. Wait, the girl said that to you?
Yeah, it just kept asking. Vince, to his credit, wasn't provoking that much.
Yeah.
But he definitely wasn't. He wasn't exiting the conversation.
You weren't backing off of the fact that you hate Nicholas Sparks.
He was being honest about his opinions, and this chick kept getting more and more angry.
And she said that you'll never be as successful as Nicholas
Sparks. I think how it culminated, and then she stormed off.
That's awesome.
Hey, well, I'm making friends.
And that's not really fair, too. Nicholas Sparks really is way more successful than he deserves.
He'll never be as successful as Nicholas Sparks.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
What are you selling? Authenticity? Fuck that.
Yeah. Okay, so Bernsey, I want to know why you put the Chris Brown breakdancing movie as the number one.
I thought long and hard about it. I talked to a couple other people because I don't know too many people had seen it. But then Dustin had seen it, so I talked to him for a minute, and it was like it just made me laugh so much the entire movie because it didn't make any sense, like. The whole point is these two guys, or this one guy wants to put together the best American B-boy team that's ever been. And it, the thing was
that's breakdancing for those of you guys.
I didn't know the Battle of the Year was a real thing that takes place like wherever, and so I kept thinking like I didn't know we still had B-boys in 2013.
Oh,
but that's just my own.
Most of them are Asian, but we have them.
Yeah, but it's about this one guy, and he's a washed up past his prime B-boy, and he wants to get him back together. So he starts recruiting a team.
He wants to get the B back together.
and he picks the guy from Lost, Sawyer from Lost, to be the coach, and he can't dance. He's a basketball coach.
Okay.
So he's like the grizzled, white, drunk, old, like middle-aged basketball coach who doesn't want to put up with this shit.
And he's coaching breakdancing?
Yeah, and he moves this team of teenage B-boys into a rundown detention center.
Okay.
Well, they got to practice somewhere.
They all have to sleep together. But, yo, they're all from different neighborhoods, so they don't get along.
Different gangs.
Well, and
if you want to dance like a team, you got to live like a team.
Exactly. That's why it's a team thing, man.
Okay.
So he runs them through basketball drills, but, yo, they're dancing.
They're doing basketball drills and dancing at the same
time?
Like
five at a time, they have to all dance the same dance.
Okay.
If they get it wrong, then he yells at them, and they may have to do laps.
Does he know anything about choreography?
No. That's why they have to bring in the best choreographer they can find.
Chris Brown?
But hold up. It's a woman.
Oh.
Is it Rihanna?
You can't have a woman teaching these boys how to dance.
Is it Julianne? Oh, is it Michelle Pfeiffer? And she's like,
I gotta break into these
spending most our lives living in a gangster paradise.
B-boy. Actually, I don't even know the girl's name who it is, but you could tell me that it's Julianne Hough, and I'd be like, yeah, it's an attractive blonde girl.
Okay.
Oh, she's white?
Yeah, it's an attractive white blonde girl.
Oh, they
but
don't.
She's the best there is.
Oh shit!
Is there a wheelchair break dancer?
No.
They missed out.
I don't think so.
Does she solve racism in any way? Do they teach her a good...
She solves sexism.
Oh.
This is 2013. We've taken a step beyond the typical racism.
Yeah, we're done with that, bro.
She shows up and she's really attractive, and Chris Brown is all, hey, let me talk to you. And she says, I don't talk to boys. And everyone just goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's how you step to a person.
Then again, there's some racial undertone there because she's white calling him a boy.
Mm.
I didn't think about that. That's pretty deep, actually.
Now, yeah. I have a question. Like when they make up at the end, do they teach her a handshake? Do they teach her the handshake of their neighborhood at any point?
I think there's like an awkward high five moment towards the end that I laughed at a lot, but I don't remember because she ends up falling in love with the guy from Lost,
Sawyer,
or something like that. I can't remember his real name because I don't think he's ever been in anything.
Sawyer is his real name.
Yeah, Sawyer. He's always going to be Sawyer.
Yep.
But I think it's just when they all realize that they're a team and they get along and we can put our petty differences behind us as long as we know how to dance.
Mm. That's so
that's
true.
That's gonna save this world.
It's sort of like the a cappella movie Pitch Perfect, where they're like, you know, all you need to know how to do is mash two songs together, and that's how the world gets better.
That was one of the movies. There was like three movies that people kept telling me that had to be on the list, and Pitch Perfect was one of them.
Really? I think Pitch Perfect has it. There's people that will tell you it's the greatest movie ever, and then there's people that tell you it's the worst movie ever. And I'm like, it was okay. It had some funny parts.
I knew some people who loved that movie.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of people who loved it. I didn't really care for it, but I also didn't hate it.
Everyone was like, the fat girl was so good. Is there a good fat girl?
Rebel Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. She's an Australian girl. Her name's Rebel. She has sisters that are named like Riot and Anarchy, I think.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
She related to Brian Wilson?
Someone actually sent me a rambling email about like trying to trash Rebel Wilson. I don't even remember the last time I wrote about Rebel Wilson. But yeah, here it is. And it's just like, it's totally badly formatted and misspelled. So here it is. Birth date, or the subject line is Rebel in quotation marks dumbbell Wilson.
Damn.
Birth date is 2/3/1980. She is 33. Attended Terra High School, North Parramatta, in 1992. Terra School is the most expensive girls' private school in Aussieland. Portrays herself as coming from underprivileged environment, which is what she calls referring to herself as a Westie. Westie Bullocks, a chronic liar, lies through TV interviews, was not the Australian youth ambassador in South Africa. Further lies. Her given birth name is Melanie Bones. She was never the star of Bridesmaids. She hates criticism, will respond what? With sarcasm. Hates
she was never the star of Bridesmaids.
Who put her in, she was in Bridesmaids.
Hates the truth about her, is greedy and up herself. Told the Jenny Craig weight loss as they signed her up that she was once athletic looking. Never was. Involved in two television ratings disasters, Turkeys in Australia, Monster House and The Wedgedale. The critics called her unfunny and the user of outdated humor. Relies on smut and fart jokes. Was at acting,
smut.
Was
I love
at,
smut.
Was at acting school around 5 years of age and not the lie of taking up acting after hallucinating when contracting malaria in South Africa and dreamt she was giving an Oscar speech. Her mother is very pushy and is Australia's answer to Christine Jenner. There is considerable doubt about her law degrees, and good mail is she did not last and pulled out her first year at Macquarie Uni in Sydney.
He's questioning her mother's law degrees.
I don't know.
That is real. That's real hatred right there.
Yeah.
There's some of those lines, the way you're reading it, I think we could lay down like a reggae beat in the background and we'd have an awesome song.
Yeah. Well, it was like he wrote this email that was mad about Rebel Wilson, and then he just had like a bowl of commas that he just sort of dumped over it randomly.
Just sprinkled on some commas wherever.
Who gets mad about Rebel Wilson? Who gives a crap about her?
I'm assuming that she's bigger in Australia than she's probably...
Well, what's he pissed off about? If England or if some another country has someone who's not funny or talented, they come to America and we give them a TV show.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Now she's got Super Fun Night, and I don't know a person on this planet who's watched that show.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. She's got a very... Like, she was funny in Pitch Perfect, but she's got, like, the very narrow shtick that could not possibly last very long.
You know who writes Super Fun Night?
Who?
Josh Gad's boys.
Oh, yeah? He has boys?
Yeah.
His
it's his two writing buddies that he's doing Gilligan's Island with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Him and
I started digging a little deeper into that one because, you know, I'm obsessed.
Josh Gad and Dan Fogler need to knife fight because they sort of occupy the same exact space in popular culture. Fat guy who someone will swear is talented because they've been in some play that only three people have seen. And... write some movies sometimes.
Talking about Josh Gad?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the name.
Oh,
you're
talking about Josh Gad,
that's
right?
That's the new
now?
Name of this podcast. Is you talking about Josh Gad?
Into it. That fool was a correspondent on the Daily Show before he got
this
cast.
Week on Gadzooks.
Gadzooks.
That fool played Steve Wozniak.
Oh.
You talking about Josh Gad? Yeah, he's good. Is he?
Oh God, you know what? That's the movie I forgot.
What?
Jobs.
Jobs. Oh, yeah. How did that not make the list?
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like a dick about that now. I kept telling myself about that movie, too.
Oh.
Well, print it.
I'll have to add that back in because I saw the... Damn it.
No one's going to want a computer. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
No one's going to want a computer, Steve.
Who's going to want that?
Steve. Wait.
No more Star Trek stuff.
Did you guys see The Internship?
No.
Because that's number 5 on my list, and Gad's in that also.
Of course.
Does he kill it?
He's part of a twist at the end of that movie.
He's a ghost?
that would have been awesome. But he plays like...
He's just a ghost eating food in the cafeteria at Google?
Yeah. Google ghost!
He's this guy that's just kind of there at Google the whole time, and like nobody really explains what he's doing. And then he ends up being like John Google.
Oh, yeah.
And they do that stupid little routine where he's like, oh, and he takes off his fake mustache and he's like, I fooled you.
Wait, so it turns out to be like the owner of Google.
He's like one of their big people. I don't remember if he was the owner or not, but he was like one of the top people.
Yeah. That's...
And there'd been this guy on the team that was opposing Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson that was like, you know, the bully.
Is the antagonist of that movie Yahoo? Like, are there evil spies from Yahoo that break into Google and like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson have to like fight them?
No, it's just one team of interns against another team of interns.
They really missed out on that then, because that could have been... That's a great movie. I'd see that movie. Yahoo versus Google.
What about if we wrote a movie that is Romeo and Juliet, but it's about like a Marissa Mayer type from Yahoo who falls in love with a Google person?
Yeah, that would be really hot.
Who's Marissa Mayer?
She's the CEO of Yahoo, single-handedly turning Yahoo around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a babe.
She's a babe.
Total babe.
She's totally helped out the Yahoo stock price. Now it's at almost $40 a share.
And she falls in love with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, who are hired by Google to beat up the hippies that surround the bus to make sure get to work.
Let's run with it. Okay. Yes, and then...
And she just had a baby that she had through artificial insemination, and it was Vince Vaughn's sperm.
Oh.
I believe
it's... The baby's inner voice is Josh Gad.
Whoa. Ooh. You did it.
I believe it's pronounced insemination.
I believe it's pronounced Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That was
cute.
Shia LaBeouf.
Burnsy?
Yo.
We were going to move on to some Shia LaBeouf stuff. You cool with that?
Yeah, let's do this.
Brett.
I was going to play Legend of Zelda all night, but I guess I can do this for a little bit.
Brett, what's your thoughts? I mean, is he nuts? Is there somewhere that he's going with this, or is he really just that nuts?
I think if there's somewhere he's going with it at this point, it's a late game shift.
Right.
Like, he's going to play this thing off as if he always intended to do it, because that's what pathological liars do.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I don't know why you're freaking out about this. It's always just been about, you know, me proving something. I mean, yeah, he's a psychopath.
Wait, why don't we explain to the Fraudcast listeners what's going on with Shia LaBeouf?
Okay, so he stole he put out a short film with Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
And it was very ironic, poetic, that he made this movie that was basically like this sort of petty diss, but well done against film critics. You know, the usual like, oh, this guy thinks he's doing so much for the world when really he's just a dork that writes on his computer at the coffee shop.
Wait, does anyone actually envy film critics?
That's the thing.
Belief that they're like, oh, yeah, they're so important.
No, and not even there's maybe like two film critics that maybe have some sort of inflated sense of importance. I think most of us understand that we're not important. That's fine.
I meant like outside of you guys. I'm sure film critics themselves imagine importance, but
yeah. Anyway, so and then someone caught on. I think it was a film critic, actually. Ironically, they caught on to the fact that he'd basically stolen the script word for word from this comic strip from 2007,
right?
And like Shia LaBeouf's all into comics, so obviously, like that would be something that he would know about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like he stole the idea; it was like word for word. The shots were like the same.
Yeah.
And it was not credited anywhere. He never said anything about it being adapted or anything like that.
Right.
Like the credits like thanked the catering. Yeah. But he never said that this came from a comic.
They never even contacted the guy who made the comic, who Shia LaBeouf is actually a big fan of.
Yeah.
Like, he actually likes the comic. So he obviously saw it and stole it. There's, like, no way that right. he couldn't have done that.
No, no way. And then he apologized, but then someone realized that he'd stolen the apology from, like, a random Yahoo Answers.
Which is great,
yeah,
by the
which
way.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because, like... I mean, who is worse to steal from than Yahoo, like a Yahoo Answers?
Just words in general. If you're going to ever copy and paste a set of words, the last place you want to get those words from is Yahoo Answers.
Yeah. Like, he basically Googled who said, like, how come Picasso said the great art is steal and came to that Yahoo answer, and then that's what he came up with. So then... someone else did like a cursory amount of digging about like one of his old comic books was just like totally lifted from Bukowski and this like French writer and like just again
wait the word Shia LaBeouf
self-published this comic book called Let's Fucking Party.
Oh yeah and so that's stolen from Bukowski.
Yeah, stolen.
But how much stolen? Like
word for word. Yeah, like wow. Here, let me find it. It's
just
like,
hire a writer.
Every third page, he changes one word.
Yeah,
that's insane. Just hire a writer. That's like it's not that hard. You just get if you're not good with words, he doesn't have to be good with words. Just get a friend.
Like it's
well, again, I'll make fun of the guy like crazy. But if Shia LaBeouf comes up to me and he's like, "Yo, can you help me write this comic book?" I say, "Okay."
Yeah, hell yeah, in a second.
One of the parts he stole was poets bore me. They are shits, snails, snippets of dust in a cheap wind. And it's like, you know, it's like a direct quote from.
Oh, so that part was actually stolen
from Bukowski. Yeah.
Holy yeah, but there's shit. Like, there's so much more.
Because I read that more. And I was like, did he write that? That's, I mean, I guess that's pretty shitty. I don't know. I don't know good poetry, but people online were making fun of it. And now the plot thickens. It turns out he stole that too. Holy shit.
There's also.
Did you read the shit about the interview where he talks about he shit himself till he was 12?
No, I didn't.
Dude.
Everything this guy says is probably garbage.
No. This is insane. He did this interview a few years ago where the interviewer asks him, so you seem like a pretty uncensored guy. You pretty much, you know, just say things and whatnot.
On that note, have you ever shit yourself?
No, and then he kind of asked him to expand on that nature and in his nature, and then he says something like, "All right, you want me to be uncensored?" Which I don't think he was asking him to be. Maybe I misread the question. But
please direct me. I don't know how to be unless you tell me what to do.
And so he's like, "You want me to be uncensored?" And then he like is like, snaps his fingers. He's like, "Yes, I shit myself until I was 12 years old." And then the guy's like. Really? And he's like, yeah, you want me to prove it? And then he calls his mother. He says, hey, Ma, what's the one thing that I would never tell anyone that I just told this guy? And he's like, what? And he's like, didn't I used to shit myself until I was 12? And then she's like, oh, yes, yeah, you used to do that. You used to shit yourself all the time. Honestly, you have to read this interview. It's insane. And it talks about how, like, at one point he did karate and then, like, he used to shit in his gi. And, like, one time he, like, he kicked
That's like a Joe King joke.
Yeah. And then one time, like, he kicked his leg out. And then, like, when he did his kick, some shit flew
off. Oh, my God.
And it's like his mother, you know, supposedly corroborating this.
Yeah. And, corroborating.
Corroborating. I said corroborating.
Okay, sorry.
Did I say corroborating?
I thought you said corroborating.
I said
you definitely corroborated it.
Did I say corroborating? Yeah. All right. He was corroborating. Uh-huh. Corroborating. All right. So she, supposedly was his mother. I don't know if that's true. It could have just been. They could have just been fucking with the interviewer. But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a
question. See, all of that, you know how that's all directly lifted from Proust.
Yeah.
Word for word. And he wrote it in English, too, which is the weird thing. That's just word for word.
Okay, so then he got called out on the Yahoo Answers thing. He got called out on Bukowski. So then he, like, took to Twitter. And now this is the part that makes me think that it might be a joke.
Uh-huh.
Or You know, I kind of think Brett's theory is probably correct, where he's doing this part deliberately to make it seem like the other part was all part of a plan.
It doesn't matter at this point because he didn't self-out himself. Like,
right.
If you run a guy over in the street and then you go like, oh, psych, the guy's still dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So he said, I have let my family down and I regret those transgressions with all of my heart, which is Tiger Woods' apology when he cheated on his wife.
Oh, that's funny.
And then he wrote, I was wrong, terribly wrong. I owe it to future generations to explain why. Which is lifted from Robert McNamara's preface to his book about Vietnam.
That's great. So at this point, he's either playing along, this was all intentional. Everything was a joke.
Yeah,
but I think giving him the courtesy of analyzing it is going too far. Like, you should not speak his name any further without sort of cringing and curling up.
Like, I went to high school with him.
Did you really?
Yeah. He only went to my high school for 1 year.
And then he said, like, he had to go to special.
He shit himself and had to leave.
And then he kept shitting himself. Yeah. He went to my high school for, I think, 1 year. And I think he claims Hamilton as his high school, but he was only there for a year. Mm-hmm. I guess he wanted to see what public school was like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Acting exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. I also went to high school with Emil Hirsch.
Okay.
And
he's handsome.
I went to high school with who's that girl from Party Down?
Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan, yeah.
Oh, Lizzie.
Oh, I love her.
And other people too.
I love Masters of Sex. And not just because she gets naked in it, but she does get naked in it, and it's wonderful.
I need to start watching that show.
Yeah, you do. It's really good.
On True Blood.
But who fucking True Blood? Come on.
Yeah,
I'm not watching any shows with fucking vampires or zombies in them.
I'm just saying, if you didn't see her get naked on True Blood, then I saw her get naked before you, and therefore I have dibs.
No, it's true.
Because I wish that she would got naked in Party Down.
You didn't take action on it,
Mean Girls. I was in love with her.
I masturbated to her in high school. I have dibs.
You guys suck.
That's a rule.
Whatever,
yeah, it's true, too.
Dude. You guys don't even watch her current show. Clearly, I like her more.
That's true.
I will say, I think Masters of Sex is one of the best shows of the year. New shows, at least, for sure.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Shia LaBeouf
on
it?
99.
No. All right.
So wait, this whole Shia LaBeouf thing kind of turned me off to seeing his ding dong in Necrophilia.
I'll still see it.
I want to frame that sentence. Yeah, it's weird. Even before this happened, it blew my mind that why does Lars von Trier want to work with this guy?
Yeah, I'm really excited for Nymphomaniac, and now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't want to have to watch Shia LaBeouf. He's a liar.
I'm more worried about what's the other one? Fury with Brad Pitt and the war movie that he's been working on.
How does he keep getting cast? Does he have an agent that just has naked pictures of everyone in Hollywood?
I think he's just got the best drugs, apparently.
Yeah, like I've never been that like bothered by Shia LaBeouf, but there's never been a movie where I'm like, oh man, this guy's the real deal. Like, we need to get this guy in a movie, you know?
Shia.
It's usually he's just sort of aggro and obnoxious.
Holes.
Man, iRobot, I wanted to like throw my TV.
Yeah.
Is he in iRobot?
Yeah, he plays the same guy he used to play in every movie, which was the obnoxious kid who won't shut up.
Oh, is he still a kid in that? iRobot was a bad movie.
It was like iRobot and Constantine. He played the same exact guy.
iRobot was really bad.
Never watched it all the way through.
Sweaty bad.
You know what was good about it, though? Bridget Moynihan.
Mm-hmm. She the robot?
No. She was Tom Brady's baby mama.
Oh, that's right. Hey, who you texting, though?
Oh, I just got a message from Sketchfest. I just found out I'm going to be doing competitive erotic fan fiction.
Wow, breaking news.
Yeah, just now, and I just agreed to do it.
Can you put in the good word? I want to be in that someday.
You want to be a competitive erotic fan fiction?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I'll put
it
in the good word.
I think I'd be good at that.
I absolutely think you would kill at that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, for real. You know who you should talk to? You should also talk to Ivan Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
He has a new podcast where people read their short stories that they've written.
Oh.
And I think you would be great at that as well.
Okay, so Shia LaBeouf, definite. So all right. So he's definitely some sort of sociopath. Is that what we're gonna? Is that what we're gonna say?
I just think he's a compulsive liar.
I mean, that's the same thing, isn't it?
No,
not at all.
You can't write any words without stealing them from somewhere else.
I think there's probably a lot of overlap, but it's two conditions.
He may not know that. First of all, he may not know that it's wrong to like steal an apology. Like he might just be. But that's not a movie. It's just words on a page. Every word has been done before. I could see the logic. Ugh. Like someone wrote this word at some point. What, I have to make up new words now? Like
that's
I could
like
see
the it. Utter actor logic where nothing means anything.
You guys, you're applying logic to it like he's a thinking, rational being. No. I guarantee he is masturbating while he tweets those tweets. No. It's a sexual thing.
I'm just saying he is
trying to fuck your eyeballs. With lies.
It's as simple as...
lies out of his dick.
I think it is as simple as he Googled a sincere apology and then...
But isn't that an intense psychology pathology where...
I think it is.
Where you can't say something without Googling something and then writing it up as your own? Like, that's weird.
And masturbating.
And being so arrogant that you constantly think you're going to get away with it?
Well, I think that kind of arrogance is not... I don't think that's like he's not a sociopath because he's arrogant. He just doesn't know that he can get called out for shit. I think it's the sociopath part is like if he were to do this three more times.
But he's done it so many times. It's like it feels like he's trying to cut other people open and wear them as his skin and be like, "Look, I'm Robert McNamara."
Look, if we're gonna be doing off the cuff psychoanalysis, we should totally invent our own diseases. Yeah. Like this is gonna become a regular topic where celebrities just go crazy and we try and decide what kind of crazy.
That's kind of what's
stop
like
pretending we know anything about mental illness and just start assigning the things we think best.
He's got shingles, LaBeouf.
That's kind of what psychiatry is anyway. Yeah, it's not fair. It hasn't progressed to the point where they have clear.
What are you, fucking Scientologist? You don't believe in psychiatry now? Is that what you are?
No, I'm not.
Psychiatry is helpful. You just don't understand.
No, I do, and I agree with that.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's like perfectly defined what everything.
You're saying it's a pseudoscience?
No, I'm saying it's a science in its infancy.
Fine.
They were fucking stabbing people in the brain like 20 years ago.
Yeah, but they were trying to figure shit out.
Yeah, okay. All right. I respect their game.
I respect their game, too.
I'm just saying he's definitely masturbating.
Yeah.
Professionally. As a doctor, I'm saying that he is definitely masturbating.
Yeah.
While he's typing that. Like, the Google search is what does it. That's the trigger.
It just annoys me that when one of these stories comes out now, there immediately develops like the two warring polarized factions where it's like, oh, it's all a long con, and the other side's like, no, he's a fucking terrible person. I'm like, I think there might be like a slight middle ground. And we'll just wait.
You were weirdly hedgy in all of your posts.
Well,
you have like
I'm waiting to see what happens. I don't think the story is done yet. I'm waiting to see where it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, because for sure it could go.
Because the part where he steals from Tiger Woods is so bizarre to me that it feels like he's trying to pull off like this is art sort of thing.
But fuck it. Art's stupid. Art has always been stupid. You can't claim art as a defense for not being a good person.
I agree.
That's true.
But I think he's going to try to do that.
But I don't care. I'm tired. Like, concluded. I don't want to hear about him or Tila Tequila again unless they kill themselves, at which point, sweet.
No, I'm down
Shia to... Shia is 27 years old. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Okay, so if you were doing a death pool right now, would you pick Tila Tequila or Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, Tila for sure.
Yeah.
She's already
dead. She's died 9 times.
She's died.
She's just got one more left.
She's like a slutty Asian cat.
She died 7 times, by the way. Just saying.
I changed my answer to Shia. Okay.
I feel like it doesn't matter what the whole apology thing is with whether or not he... stole his apologies from the internet. The point is, he spent a year making a movie and promoting a movie, and never gave credit to the guy who wrote the movie.
He produced and released the movie.
Yeah,
he wasn't surprise, motherfuckers.
He can't claim that as an artistic choice, you know, where I was like, I just chose not to credit him and steal his work because...
yeah. Well, at first he was like, oh, I just forgot to put his name. Which, I mean, it sounded like bullshit, but I was like, all right, maybe he forgot to put the adapted from...
Why are you hedging? That's so weird. What is it about Shia LaBeouf?
I try to give people the benefit of the doubt at first.
No, you don't. But that's a ridiculous conclusion.
That's an unreasonable doubt. That's because
there was a cyber lynch mob, and I didn't want to just mindlessly be like, yeah, fucking kill him.
That's fair. Lynch mobs are stupid. So that's...
Yeah, I agree with that. But
people hate Shia LaBeouf because he's annoying, and I didn't
If you're gonna pick sides and who to defend as the riots begin,
I didn't defend him at all. I was just wasn't, you know, I didn't.
I don't think you were burning the effigy strongly enough.
Okay, fair enough.
You got to clap when Kim Jong Un stands up. You clap.
fair. I will add more gasoline to the monk on fire next time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He stole that shit.
Yeah.
He stole it, and he lives in an insular world where he didn't think he had to credit him because he's like, nah, this is just some shit I discovered.
But I think that's fascinating. I mean, I think we all know that you got yes men and people that make you think you can get away with a lot of ridiculous shit. But this is like on another level.
Well,
thinking
you have to keep in mind,
how much would it suck to be Kim Jong Un's like missile designer? Where you make this awesome nuclear missile and you're really proud of it and you show him it and he's like, yes, I invented this.
Yeah.
You got to be like, yeah, thank you, glorious leader. And you're just so heartbroken because it was your baby. It was your baby missile.
Did you read the press release about him killing
his uncle?
Awesome. It's a cleansing. He's wiping out all opposition.
Yeah.
People forget because he's such a clown that he's actually kind of a mass murderer.
Right. Well, because they put such a funny spin on everything. You're like, oh, man.
They blew him up with the mortar. It's like, nah, man, his guts were still all over the place. And then they killed his family.
Yeah, and then you're like...
Wait, they blew him up with a mortar?
Not this guy, but another guy.
Different guy. They strapped him to a mortar.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Dennis Rodman's going to go teach him how to play basketball. It's like, great job, fucker.
That is brutal.
Because they're so goofy. You read those press releases and you're like, you couldn't parody this any more than it already is. Like, it's so just comical dictator to the nth degree. Yeah. That, like, it's incredible.
That's tight. I mean, that's horrifying.
I don't know why we don't, whenever we get like the war boner, we don't just go pick on them for a while. Because it's like, it's comical and everyone can get behind it like it's a soccer match and everyone's cheering because fuck those guys.
Because they have like a million people in the army or something. Like, they have a crazy huge military because that's the only thing they've done for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? It's because the South Koreans, like, we don't want to fuck over the South Koreans because, like...
If we start fucking with the North Koreans, they'll start fucking with the South Koreans.
Oh, we'll just nuke the South Koreans.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
And then no more Kias and Hyundais.
And they're only killing their own people, which is like, come on. Like, they have that right.
Right.
As a country.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not killing other people. Anyways. Write your letters to @lieb12345689.
Anyway, I'm just fascinated by the level of complete disregard for everything in Shadow
Love. He probably thinks he's Ra, the sun god.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a legitimate mental illness of some kind.
I have to say, if he did shit his pants till he was 12 and that whole thing was real, then, he's got some issues.
He's like the little kid from We Need to Talk About Kevin. He's like, we need to talk about Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And his mom's like, what's wrong, Shia? And he just throws a karate kick at her and poop hits the wall behind her head.
Shia LaBeouf, you're not even my real mom. Karate.
Talk about a brown belt.
See, I think that actually is a Joe King bit.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what, you guys? We got other stuff to talk about. It's not all about Shia LaBeouf.
Could be. We could just replace his name with other people's names and tell the story all over again like he was.
You should just start putting out news posts about other people and titling them Shia LaBeouf did blank.
like the John Cusack news Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I should own the how come Shia LaBeouf Twitter search.
Yeah.
And just how come Shia LaBeouf?
You reverse plagiarize. You give him credit for things he will never do or has ever done.
Yeah.
just change every news story. Every news story is like, oh, and here's Blended starring Adam Sandler and Shia LaBeouf, directed by Shia LaBeouf, written by Shia LaBeouf.
Assassination anniversary. You re-photoshop the Zapruder film. Just make it really, really tasteless.
It's actually
really tasteless. Just have him flying into the Twin Towers. Just go for broke. Just pull Nick Sparks it.
Shia LaBeouf was caught, was identified as JonBenet Ramsey's killer today by lawyer Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf says that LaBeouf strangled JonBenet Ramsey in the bathroom of Shia LaBeouf's house.
Like a Charlie Kaufman movie. Being Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. And the byline is always Shia LaBeouf.
I should just change everyone's byline on Film Drunk to Shia LaBeouf.
That would be really great.
Just for the next week. Like sort of like Google does the themed homepages. Yeah. Just have like a Shia LaBeouf themed everything.
Oh, God, do you think they would sue you and you'd have to go to court and say and under oath that Shia LaBeouf did not 9/11? He's not an airplane.
Oh, so 9/11. Much Shia.
Much Shia. So scared.
So scared. So plagiar.
Very steel.
Yeah, just, you know, like they do, the Google does the homepage, and just for one day, everything is Shia LaBeouf all the time. So someone sent me this lawyer ad, which I found fascinating. Here, I can't remember who sent me this to me. I should probably credit them. I don't want to LaBeouf their lawyer ads. From Steven. This is lawyer ad. Now, see if you can figure out what the fuck this guy's talking about, because this is like as confusing as a Tyrese Gibson monologue.
We've seen a series of one-car accidents recently involving rollovers and serious injuries to passengers. I don't.
So far, so good.
Yeah, okay.
I get it.
I don't know if it's video games or what, but it's so unfair to, after something like this, to blame people in the backseat or sit.
Wait, what?
Play that last part? I was cracking up pretty hard. I don't know if it's video games or what.
You can't laugh because I got to turn it. I got to turn him way up, and you're the same volume that he's on.
Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know if it's video games or what, but it's so unfair to, after something like this, to blame people in the backseat or say they deserved it.
What?
Wait, this is a commercial or is this like a radio show?
It's a computer. It's a commercial.
It's a computer. Oh, it's just, I don't know if it's video.
It's a guy speaking into a camera.
With a turtleneck.
With a turtleneck.
You kids, you play Doom, and then you go out and you flip your cars.
And then he's got a Christmas tree in the background. So this is a holiday-themed message.
You're trying to Mario Brothers, and you break your friend's neck. You can't Mario Brothers. It's not real life.
Wait, so how does it end?
I don't like consoling these parents about what happened, but I'll do it till it stops.
I will comfort every victim.
What the fuck?
Will you
sucks
please?
For you.
All right, Brett, you got to quiet. You got to move away from the computer with your laughing, because I just want to get this out there just one more time.
We've seen a series of one-car accidents recently involving rollovers and serious injuries to passengers. I don't know if it's video games or what, but it's so unfair to, after something like this, to blame people in the backseat or say they deserved it. I don't like consoling these parents about what's happened, but I'll do it until it stops. Please stop.
What's the last words he said?
I'm Scott Hoy. That's his name. He's a lawyer.
I'm what? Scott Hoy. You're not Sonic the Hedgehog. You gotta stop.
That is.
You can't go that fast. You're not a hedgehog at all.
So, all right. So, it's a commercial about a lawyer saying, "Stop blaming
video games."
No. Stop blaming the kids in the back seat for making you roll over your own car.
Yeah, it's the texting. It's not the. video
Wait,
games.
Wait, he never mentions texting.
No, he says, I've seen all these one car accidents with the texting and the...
He doesn't say texting. Go back.
He doesn't say, yeah, he doesn't say texting
anymore.
He just
says, I've seen a lot of one car accidents.
I've seen a series of one car accidents recently involving rollovers and serious injuries to passengers. I don't know if it's video games or what, but it's so unfair to, after something like this, to blame people in the back
seat. Video games just continue the cycle of backseat blaming.
Yeah, that's...
Congress should do something. We can't have these seven video game clips in an automatic rifle.
Won't someone think of the Marios?
This message is so weird.
It's so amazing.
Who's in the back seat? He doesn't even explain
that. The parents are in the back seat. That's who he's consoling. Drive.
You know who's in the back seat? Shia LaBeouf. I'm tired of Shia LaBeouf blaming the video games. It's like Shia LaBeouf designs these video games, and then other people crash their cars.
I don't know if it's Shia LaBeouf or what, but it's got to stop. I'm Shia LaBeouf.
Did he even say what his service is other than consoling the mothers?
He's going to console your parents after you crash your car.
Until it stops.
Until you stop blaming the back seats.
It's an ultimatum. It wasn't at all.
Does that mean that he is holding the parents hostage until...
He's going to console them until they die.
Until the blaming stops.
Yeah.
So that was a threat.
He wants you to stop playing the blame game.
What the fuck? Who's it directed at? TV viewers?
The back seat.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
What are the...
Done.
What is... Does that ever get explained? Has anyone explained that yet? What has Scott Hoy made a statement?
I don't think so.
What are the comments?
It's just going to be like the dinosaurs where we're never really going to know what they look like.
It's just a comment. Scott Hoy, attorney for something. Scott Hoy will protect you from either playing video games in the backseat, car crashes, or blaming the passengers for rollovers. Not sure which, but it's either one.
I think his point was that he just doesn't like being compassionate to the victims.
Yeah, he'd like to stop consoling.
Because he made that pretty clear, that he doesn't want to feel sorry.
I think he's just sick and tired of the teenagers.
Yeah.
He's just...
I want you to do something. Won't somebody think of the kids and how to stop them?
These kids and their video games with the knockout games in the car... Yeah. Rolling over.
Playing the pass-out game at work where they should be working because...
And why are these kids working anyway? Aren't there child labor laws here?
I guarantee this dude loses at Mario Kart all the time, and that's why he's upset.
This is like a fucking Cold War code. Like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
All kinds of sleeper cells just activated.
He just started the revolution.
just born identity all over the fucking place.
The revolution will be started by a secret code on a lawyer commercial during daytime TV.
70,000 Jedi were just killed.
Obey my dog.
Okay, so I did have another clip. I'm sad that Brendan's not here because I know how much Brendan loves these things. But you know what? He had full opportunity to show up for this.
And he fucked it up.
And he did not. But this is quite possibly the most Australian thing that I've ever seen.
No, they were just all around my face and on my lips. And
okay, so the cron at the bottom of this news story is freak bee attack, just to let you know.
Just all around my face and on my lips. And but yeah, I couldn't really remember.
Gary, for you to watch it must have been awful.
Yeah, it was a bit disturbing, but better him than me.
Okay. That is so.
Yeah, no, you never like seeing your kids get hurt, but you can't wrap them up in cotton wool. So.
You never like seeing your kids get hurt, but you can't wrap them up in a cotton roll. Or...
It makes a good point.
Yeah.
You can't put them
in a meat pie, that's for sure. That won't work.
No, they were just all around my face and on my lips and... But yeah, I couldn't really remember.
Gary, for you to watch it must have been awful.
Yeah, it was a bit disturbing, but better him than me.
That's a good dad right there.
But yeah, no, you never like seeing your kids get hurt, but you know, you can't wrap them up in cotton wool, so...
Cotton wool. Yeah, cotton wool.
Sometimes you gotta get stung by a bee.
I like to imagine Australia as just like an entire country of people on local news for some horrible reason, but they're kind of amused by the whole thing. You know what I mean? They're just, yeah, fucking snakes, mate. The snakes came, but you know.
They ate all of our dogs.
What are you
going
to do?
What can you do? Just keep going, keep living your life. I kind of joined in. I ate one of the dogs with the snake. Me and the snake were eating together. Now I own a pet snake. It's actually better. It's better to own a snake.
Well, you don't want to coddle your snake.
No.
They don't grow up right if you don't.
Yeah. You know.
You get a soft snake, and nobody wants a soft snake.
Yeah.
So not being able to see the video, please tell me the child was puffed up to a ridiculous degree, like he's just a swollen, just all lips and eyelids just puffed out.
Just a bunch of IVs in his arm, like dying.
Yeah, he's got the...
Better him than me. This little puffer. Puffer? Is that a word? I just said puffer.
It probably is.
Yeah, puffer sounds... Like it.
Well, our next story is an epic case of lost and found that involves a missing wedding ring, a cow, and one very determined father.
I just want the leads of all the news stories.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
You don't even need the rest of the story.
Well, our next is this story the same is anchor?
Yeah, it's Carl. It's our favorite guy, Carl Stefanovich.
A missing wedding ring, a cow, and one very determined father. I'm not kidding. Joining me now is this bloke, Gippsland farmer, Will Gelbar. Good morning to you, Will.
That Will Gelbar? Come on.
Gelbar.
Good morning. How are you?
Tell me what happened right from the start.
Well, my wife and I used to manage Caldermead Farm, which is a little dairy farm with a cafe on it, and it had a nursery in it where we used to keep a few little baby calves and lambs for the punters to come and pat.
Yeah.
Very nice.
First of all, we got a cafe and a farm, and sometimes they drink coffee and they come in and they pet the cows. Like, what?
And often the calves, when you go in there, will suck your fingers or your clothes or whatever they can get their mouths on, and they suck the wedding ring off this man's finger. And the little calf was called Yogi. He's a belted Galloway.
Yeah.
And we kept Yogi at and took him to our farm at Lock.
And we took a knife, we cut him open. We just dug a hole into his stomach, one of his seven stomachs.
He's got seven stomachs. We had digesting the grass.
We had the snake come over and eat eat his stomachs.
One bloke came in with a snake around his neck, and one of the calves got hold of the snake. Got in a mess of bother.
Now he's got a new ring made out of snake.
Use it.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit well.
No, he doesn't need to. It's a wedding ring. It's not going to last long.
He sheds his ring every 6 to 9 months.
Every year gets smaller. Because its skin keeps falling off.
It gets dry. The climate makes the skin shrink.
That where it's not venomous.
And what about
constrictor?
So this guy went home presumably and told his wife, "Listen, I was at the cow farm today and I lost my wedding ring because a cow sucked it off."
That's right.
He gets it.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
The cow was sucking off. Maybe I shouldn't have said that on telly.
I'm glad you said it, brother, and not me. Hey.
I love this guy.
He went home and he was like, "I wish my wife could suck off like this cow. My wife hasn't sucked my fingers for 5 years.
Yeah, it's been years since she sucked on my fingers.
That's why I go to the cow farm so much.
You gotta go to a cow, find a snake.
Maybe put
the snake around your cock.
Maybe I wouldn't go to the snake farm so much if I had a better wife.
Yeah. I'm going to kill my wife tonight. Better her than me.
You can't wrap your wife in wool.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
I learned this from the snake.
She struggles too much.
I slowly constrict my wife as she's sleeping. Just slowly squeeze harder.
Squeeze harder until she stops moving.
Till she can't breathe.
Now she's a good wife.
Uh-huh.
better wife, at least.
And now it's just me, the corpse, and the snake.
Go on. Yep. Sorry, mate.
Yep. No, it's okay. He gave us his details, and we've lost his details since. So he's out there watching. He needs to just ring up, and hopefully he's not divorced, because you might not want the ring back.
Jesus. His wife found out that he'd been around. She smelled
the corpse and the snake.
His wife smelled the snake on him.
Uh-huh.
When he came home.
Now they're getting a divorce. Too bad the papers haven't come in yet. Still gives us one more night to constrict her to death.
She's got to wait till the cow passes the divorce papers.
Maybe she could call Bob Hoy. She needs a good lawyer.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, listen, what about the... What was the cow's name again?
Yogi.
So, yes, how did you manage question. To find... You found the ring in Yogi's stomach. How did that all happen? How did that transpire?
Well, Yogi was a beef animal, and he got to the age where he's ready to be eaten. So we got the local farm butcher out, and Yogi off. And,
wait, did you say we knocked Yogi off?
Yeah, they fucking killed him.
Butcher out, and we've knocked Yogi off, and searched through his stomach and found the ring.
Well, how it works?
That's
is
exactly.
We have this bolt. It's sort of like a nail gun, but yeah, you put it right next to the cow's skull,
right,
and it just shoots the bolt right
in
there.
Goes right through,
and
he goes
limp, and then we cut him open. Yeah.
The cow's still alive while you're cutting him open. Yeah, so he feels pain.
We knocked off his skin a bit.
Yeah,
and as he was mooing, we could see the ring right there in the fourth stomach.
Yeah, and then I took the ring myself, thinking I was going to give it to the husband. But then I put it on, and I saw Sauron. And I was
started
like,
prancing around my house.
Yeah, I realized that it was the one ring to rule them all.
And maybe that is why he was trying to dispose of the ring inside the cow's stomach instead of going all the way to Mordor.
Yeah. He just didn't want to make that trick. It's a long way to go. Mm. It's all the way in New Zealand.
Matt's Australian is kind of soothing. Like, he's got a nice quiet pace to it.
Yeah. It's because it's New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the difference.
Hey, is that Yogi you're sitting on right now?
Yeah, that's Yogi's hide.
Oh, what a beautiful hide, eh? Some hide.
Yeah.
So you actually went through the whole beast and found the ring in the stomach.
We did, yeah. We went through his stomach and found the ring.
And
no
problems with the ring. The ring was all cool.
No, it was really shiny. So I've got it just here. So yeah, no, it came out shining. We have washed it.
It was really shiny.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it came out shining. We have washed it since.
Yeah.
Just to be on the safe side.
How weird.
Came out shining.
How weird. So you've got to try and track down this fella now.
We do.
Yeah. Any hints?
His name is Gollum.
Might be?
Well, there is a word on the ring, and there's also a wedding date on the ring. So hopefully, though, we'll ring up. Hopefully somebody will have heard the story, because it's quite an unusual story. Hopefully they've told some of their mates at a dinner or something, and somebody's ears prick up, and we might be able to get their ring.
Wait a second, exactly. Wait a second. How did they know the ring was in there? Didn't the husband have to be the one who said, hey, this cow just ate my fucking...
I don't have to rewind it to figure it out.
But then he left, and it's like 4 years later or whatever.
Oh, so they only...
This is a long con.
Wait, hold on. So they only killed the cow recently?
Yeah, and then they found the ring.
And they decided maybe the ring might still be in his digestive system?
Yeah.
I think they found the ring, and then they figured out what happened in reverse.
Oh.
Like, we killed the cow. And then we found a ring in it, and so we figured...
Oh, yeah. I thought they killed the cow.
Yeah, that makes more sense than they
didn't
know.
Because they were looking for a ring.
Look at it, so someone at home will probably look at this ring and say, well, hang on, what's some... Oh, we can't really... It looks like the one... Yeah, what's the date on the back?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you, because otherwise
you'll
get anybody ringing up. Yeah,
anyone's ring.
They'll just want a free ring, yeah.
Well, who wants a free ring?
They can just ring you up.
You are on top of it, my friend. We'll
Smeagol.
Connect people and everything and get it sorted out. And what are you doing?
We got all these calls from Smeagol.
Yeah.
Oh.
With the hide, by the way, because that hide's got to be worth a fortune.
What? Why is he so in love with the hide? It's really creepy.
Because he's just fucking with the guy.
Yeah, we're probably just going to put it on the living room wall.
Mate, you are a fair dinkum champion, my friend. Well, thank you for coming on our show, mate. We appreciate your candid and honest portrayal of events.
No problem. I hope I haven't offended anyone.
He just had a baby last night, too. Congratulations to Will. Well done, my
what
friend.
What a strange
what? That's how it ends. They have a baby. They just had a baby.
Life goes on. Sometimes you lose your ring, and then you have a baby
and then you have
afterwards.
A baby. The only problem was the baby was half snake, so I don't think it was mine.
I had to have a conversation with the wife about where she's been.
And by conversation, I mean slowly choke her.
Slowly constricted her.
Just a hard world out there in the outback. It's a harsh environment.
She squirmed a bit. She squirmed a fair bit at first.
I cried as I did it, kind of like Matt Damon in that one movie.
I had to tell myself not to be so sentimental. It's got to happen.
Talented Mr. Ripley. That's
right,
the one.
Right.
Yep.
Goodbye. Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Burnsy, have you seen Do the Right Thing?
Of course.
You have?
Like lately?
Yeah, lately.
No, not lately. It's been several years.
Brett?
I had not seen it before.
What are your thoughts? Because I got a few thoughts on this movie.
I had a hard time telling if everyone was a cartoon character because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
Or because it's an oddly drawn set of characters.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy anyone being intimidated by anyone else in such wonderful colors.
I know.
They were very, very bright and had a lot of novelty socks.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be difficult to be intimidated by anyone in such wonderful novelty socks.
Well, I would say the good things about the movie, it sort of felt like comfort food for some reason. Like, it was very stagey, but in a not unpleasing sort of way. It was just sort of...
It is very... I don't want to mean it as a disparagement. It was very foreign and kind of like the time you go to community college to watch your play with your grade school.
Yeah.
Like when you go and it's all very strange and very not self-aware, but...
Every scene was like, I am going to communicate race relations through interpretive
exactly.
dance.
It was very elaborately gestured. There's a lot of gesticulation going on in the structure of the script. There's like, this is the time where we have these two people interacting.
Like, it sort of felt like I wrote this 7 years ago, and I've been working on it every day since, and it's going to be the most important scene in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It was okay, I guess. I think it probably was more interesting in context historically.
Yeah, I think
it was as an individual artifact.
Right.
Because, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it sort of was like, oh, look at this new style of filmmaking.
Yeah.
At the time, I assume.
I never watched it prior to this, so I can only comment on it by itself and not like having worn such wonderful socks myself at any point.
But it's great. I mean, it's great at creating its own sort of mythology. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I got that it's kind of like that's kind of why I feel like it was playish, because it all takes place in one day. It's all in one spot. It's got the same characters, and it's just mixing and matching them. Like, they're swapping out backdrops and actors, and sometimes it feels like the actors have put on different makeup.
Yeah.
And it's like they're shouting, like they're broadcasting it to an auditorium.
It's
know?
All very broadcasty, yeah.
Yeah, it felt very community college production.
Right.
Not in a bad way, necessarily.
Community racist!
Community theater.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it did make me... it's very loving of New York in a way where it's like, oh, you know, you can tell it's like very nostalgic the way it's filmed. Like, oh, remember those hot days in the summer when your Puerto Rican girlfriend would be all screeching at you all day?
You'd be all sweaty.
Yeah, you'd be all sweaty.
And you'd be like, shut up, Rosie Perez! I'm Spike Lee!
They do reiterate that it's hot about 18,000 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it gets hot out, though, that's when murders start happening. People get angry.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But if it's funny because, like, of all the criticism it took at the time, like, none of it was
What kind of criticism did it take?
Like, it was basically like they thought Spike Lee was trying to incite a race war, which was like, that's not really the point of the movie, like,
no,
at all.
The whole thing was the MLK Malcolm X contest as to whether nonviolence can work or whether, right?
Isn't that
the, or the morals that sometimes hot days happen? I don't know.
I thought it was more just like, yeah, like everybody's sort of in this powder keg and there's like tensions, but at the towards the end, it was sort of like they sort of made up at the end, I thought.
The Italians and the blacks become friends. Is that how it ends?
Like, you can see everyone's point of view to a certain degree, where like the Italian guy's like, what the fuck? Why are you mad at me? I just came in here and tried to make, you know, I'm trying to do something.
Just trying to make pizza for the community.
Right, but then the black people are mad.
It's the system, and everyone suffers under the system.
Yeah, and the black people are mad because he comes in, but he sort of imposes his own sort of values on, or he tries to impose certain of his own values, like, on the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, he's still kind of, I mean, Saul, the what's the guy's name? Saul? Paul?
Yeah, Saul.
Saul.
Saul's famous.
Saul's famous. Like, he's a nice guy, but he's still kind of a dick about it in certain ways. Like, he's not that understanding.
I thought that's why I didn't want to be, like, a dick to the movie, because I thought it did a good job of showing, like, the intractability of the situation. Like, this shit is fucked up. Everyone's angry. There's not really a good solution. Here's a sort of very overblown slice of that.
I think it's like, I think people misread it as him trying to offer a solution when all he was trying to do was explain the problem.
Yeah.
People, I don't even like, know if he's trying to explain the problem. I think he's just saying, like, this is hard to solve. And it did a good job of showing that.
I think he's trying to explain why the people are, like, pissed at the, you know, why. I think he's trying to explain why, what's his name, threw the thing through the window. Why he, well, himself, why he threw the trash can through the window.
What was the name of his
I didn't think he was in any way advocating for Mookie as
Mookie.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that he was advocating for him. I think he was
I didn't get that Spike Lee took a side in any of this.
I don't think he took a side. I think he was just sort of, you could understand why he might do it. That doesn't necessarily mean it was like, I don't think he was saying that it was necessarily the right thing to do. I don't know.
So what is the right thing?
I think that's why it's called Do the Right Thing, because it's like, what the fuck do you do in this situation?
Yeah, agreed.
Like, that's a good title. There is no answer here.
Dude, you should have called him up and told him to make that the title.
I'll call him up and tell him, good title. Because that's a good title.
Although in hindsight, like, Spike Lee seems like a huge dick and kind of a detached weirdo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, and it's funny to watch where they have the scene where the people complain about all the different racial groups, and I'm like, God damn it, this has been in every Spike Lee movie since.
Yeah.
So my first introduction to Spike Lee was Bamboozled, which was just, wow, it's all the stuff that kind of worked in Do the Right Thing, just cranked up to 11.
Yeah.
And it passes interesting or effective at like 7. Like, he can only turn it up to 6 before it gets fucking stupid.
You didn't like Bamboozled?
I did not like Bamboozled. Oh. It was way, way too audience involvement for me.
What do you mean audience involvement?
Like, he's expecting you, the viewer, to participate. Like, he's like one step away from having a character talk directly to you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But they kind of do. Like, all of his movies, they basically are talking directly to you at one point.
Yeah, yeah. But in that one, it's like, you mean you don't like that he's, it's heavy-handed? Too heavy-handed or something?
Yeah, like forceful.
Yeah, like a sledgehammer.
It's pretty heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, and there's no, I don't know. I appreciate
it. I saw it when I was in high school.
I will take ambiguity if it means that. Like, I'd much prefer ambiguity to message driving. And, like, he made a message that filled any space you could provide it on that one. And it's just like, yeah, no, I get it, dude. I get it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely clear what you're trying to say here.
You're saying it's too on the nose.
No, I mean, it could have been 5 minutes. I mean, he made his message and then it just kept going on. It's like, yeah, no, it's still the same message. I don't know what has changed since
Leave
the
me
beginning
alone, Spike Lee.
Yeah, but exactly. That is my feeling. Leave me alone, Spike Lee.
Yeah. But it's funny because there's that scene where, you know, the Korean guy is like complaining about the police and and every neighborhood. Like, that's in 25th Hour too, which is one of Spike Lee's better movies. But in that movie, like, the scene just came out of nowhere where he's like, I fucking hate the Brooklyn Jews and blah, 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 yeah. and I hate the Koreans and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why?
Why is this happening now?
Why is this happening, and why does Spike Lee think that this is such an important thing?
To have in all of his movies?
Yeah.
To include in every single film he
makes. Wait, there's racial tension? I mean, it just, yeah. yeah. In this one, it seems, Man? Since it was the focus, to make sense, but a lot of times...
I still have not seen Inside Man.
It's great. There's a scene where he, like, Denzel Washington realizes what's going on, and he's like, man, this ain't no bank robbery, and I hate the Brooklyn Jews, and I hate the Harlem Blacks, and I hate the Puerto Ricans. It was awesome.
Does he do that in that movie?
Yeah.
Really?
No, it doesn't. I don't know.
Man, that'd be awesome.
I've never seen
it. I believe it, because it came out of that much left field in 25th Hour.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to see the San Francisco version of that, where it's just like, I hate the fucking... kids on Hate Street with their guitars. Yeah. I hate the fucking Muni drivers that just get out in the middle of the routes. And
I hate all the techies and all the coffee house artists.
Yeah. The vegans talking about goat bears.
Pomegranates. I hate the pomegranates most of all.
Stealing all the pomegranates.
Snacking on all your snacks. Get out of my house, pomegranates.
Got those rays, man.
Burnsy, what have you been doing this whole time?
Nothing.
You don't even have an opinion about racial tensions in New York City?
I am 100% deathly afraid to talk about any of that.
Spoken like a true Southerner.
I live in Florida. I'm afraid to have any opinion whatsoever on racial tension.
Okay. Burnsy has had some awkward on-the-record moments on the podcast before, and he's learned his lesson. I appreciate that.
I want to know the history behind that. What did he do? Did you say something about like the Jews or the blacks?
He just this one time I called him up and he just started screaming "Kike" over and over and over again. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know who it was directed at.
He knows who it was. He knows why it happened.
He knows. All right. So our other topic this week. Do you believe that we have this many topics? Pretty great, huh?
It's
pretty great, it's right? I mean, I'm just patting myself on the back here. Someone actually, so there's this Gawker.
That was why we saw Do the Right Thing.
No. I wasn't talking about that. Gawker. Different Gawker.
Can you email me the schedule beforehand so I don't just constantly step all over your segues?
I should probably do that. Yeah. So this was on Deadspin. This guy got a call from a recruiter, and then she thinks that the phone hung up.
This is a message for... Please give a call back. You can reach me at again. At, I look forward to speaking with you.
You, I'm gonna get the little cutie that you are because you are so precious. Come here. Come here, my little monkey. Love my little bear. Oh, will you stop it? You're just crazy.
Oh, my God.
I love my little berry cans.
Oh, my God.
You can stay here. You're in demand, my little boo-boo. You're in demand, my little berry babe. You're in demand, my little bear bear. You're so sweet, my little care bear. My little care bear. Mm-hmm. I love my little berry boy. He's a baby. Nope. He's a baby.
Now eat my pussy.
Oh, just kissing on her dog, her cat, or something.
That was cute. I like that really didn't cute. Go the route of eat my pussy. Because like at first I was like, this is going to be bad.
I enjoy that she brought a little bit of recruiting into her little love song. It's like, you can earn six figures, no problem. You're doing all right in the JavaScript.
I think it was a sports recruiter.
Oh, really? I guess that makes sense why I'd be on Deadspin.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know that. That's not really something that
gonna
involves
play
sports.
For the Cowboys, my little doggy.
Tony Romo, I still love you.
That was
We're
really
gonna
cute.
We're going to find you a brand new team.
I've actually done that before where I call one of my friends and I just come out of Rite Aid or like a drugstore or something and you know they're playing the pop music the whole time I'm in there. So I finish leaving the message, and I think I've hung up, and I start absentmindedly singing, Buttercup, why do you fill me up?
Buttercup, baby, it's always Buttercup regardless of what's playing.
But I'm singing it like, but I'm like singing in a falsetto where I'm just like, And I just sing it for like a minute, and I'm like, oh, shit, my phone's still on. So I immediately call him back, and I'm like, dude, you fucking erase that message or I will kill your whole family.
Erase it.
Yeah, do it. And luckily, it was one of my nicer friends. Because if it was Brett, we'd still be hearing God. That.
See, that's something I need to do.
If it was me, I'd be playing it for everybody, too.
I need to start leaving messages like that where I pretend to hang up and then just kind of go off and sort of weird tangent.
Just yelling at your penis.
Or maybe like I could set up a whole thing where I'm like, okay, just call me back later. Take care, man. Bye. And then, all right, say you're sorry. And then please, please don't hurt me. Please, I swear to God. I have a family.
Eat my dick.
No, okay, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do it.
Eat it.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm still recording a voicemail. Sorry, man. I'll talk to you later.
Help me, please.
Put down my snake.
Yeah. So someone of our listeners actually sent us a version of that that happened to them. And anybody listening to the Frogcast right now, if you're still listening, I know it's deep in the show at this point. But if you have any awkward voicemails like this, please send them to us because they're amazing. This is what someone sent us.
What the
fuck? Now time to do my paperwork. Oh, I need to write up Tina. I need to write up Tina.
What the fuck?
Hey, no, Celicia, I need to write up. Excuse me.
I don't like this. What's in her throat?
Yeah, this is freaking me out.
Paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. I just want to say, Shaq, come downstairs to eat your food. Oh, I need to type this up and send it to Ezekiel.
This is freaking me the fuck out.
I don't like this.
I need to call Marilyn. I need to ask her a question.
This is super creepy. It's like she's telling a ghost story.
Could it be? Could this be the next paranormal activity?
The voicemail edition?
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry. If you don't sing song your mundane daily tasks, then you're a fucking loser. And you're probably not having any fun.
Yeah.
It's true.
Have you ever heard that Patton Oswalt bit where he's like talking about how he'd have to sue if someone had put a bug in his car, where he's just like absentmindedly singing stuff to him to himself? There's so many Mexicans out today. Yeah.
It's great.
Oh. Wait. Is this still on the phone? Oh my gosh. Whoever's listening to this message, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I was just doing my paperwork. I was calling this number. I think I dialed the number wrong because I do not know nobody named Lisa. That, yeah, I have a kind of Indian thing like that. It's not a prank call, I'm telling you. I just...
She's looking for a friend.
I am so sorry. I really don't. Please don't take it in the wrong way.
Damn, that was great.
I think it's, I don't know, it's just interesting to get like a weird snippet of somebody's alone time.
Totally, completely candid. Yeah. Fucking just, this is what I'm doing. I am alone. This is what I'm doing. I am alone. Like, that's all they're doing. Paperwork here. Got food in my throat. Maybe I will die. Maybe I'll live. Yeah, that's great.
Got a weird wart. What is that wart doing? What? I got a weird wart. Weird wart. What is that on my leg? I do gonna call the doctor. What does he say? Hello.
I'm the doctor. The wart is AIDS. Yeah. Worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario.
You guys, I don't think Brendan's coming.
Well, yeah. there's still enough time for Brendan to come, right?
Yeah, you know, we got like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Woo! That's a show.
Burns, do you have any Florida stories? We need like a segment.
I honestly just pulled one. I just pulled one up, and it's had me distracted for like the last 30 seconds.
Oh, you missed out on some good songs.
What is it?
No, I heard the songs. Oh, okay. I was paying attention to both because I'm a genius.
Okay.
It's I don't know if you guys remember the story because I don't remember if we actually talked about it or not. But earlier this year, there was a Florida teacher who was she was an English high school teacher.
Oh, I know this one, yeah.
And she was forced to resign because some photos surfaced to her that were, you know, sexy. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I hate that though, when they make the teacher resign. That's such bullshit.
Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
They were just bikini pictures too.
It what? Wasn't like, how is that illegal?
I don't know. Well, it's Florida, man. If she's a good teacher, they're gonna fire her.
That's fucked up.
You can't have kids getting smart.
You teaching these kids evolution?
Supposed to be teaching them how to dance.
But so the thing was, she got fired, and you know, she was doing an internet modeling thing where she had like, you know, a fake name and stuff like that. So that's how she thought she wasn't going to get caught or whatever. And she got an offer for Hustler.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to do Hustler. I don't want to do the whole Spread Eagle thing. And that was her quote, actually. She said, I don't do Spread Eagle. Oh. And which,
not,
you know,
not wife material.
Then, you know what? Then I don't date her.
Right.
That's just, you know, she's a chicken shit, if you ask me.
Yeah, tough but fair.
But lo and behold, guess who is gracing the cover of March's Hustler magazine?
Woo-hoo. The teacher?
Yep.
Oh, then cool.
But see, that's the thing. It's like they force them out as teachers. And they're like, oh, you're doing, you don't like your bikini pictures. And then it's like, well, now her only option is to pose nude.
Oh, and the bikini pictures, by the way, it's worth pointing out that they're like, you know, tastefully done. They were like professional modeling pictures.
Yeah.
And that's why she was fired. But her reason for the 180 and agreeing to do Hustler now is their persistence in hiring me. They were incredibly professional and cordial when handling every step of the process.
Well,
that speaks well of Hustler.
That is one of the reasons why I want to work at this company that I just interviewed for. So,
the Hustler store?
Yep. I said I wasn't going to say the name of the...
Oh,
can
sorry.
You erase it?
I can go back and edit this.
Fix it in post.
Okay. I can do that. So are the pictures online yet?
Yeah.
How she looked?
Oh, I don't know if the actual pictures are online, but...
What the...
steal them. She, you know...
Wouldn't that be the first thing that you looked for?
I'm looking at the cover. Well, I haven't had a chance, man.
Jesus.
I'm looking at the cover, and she's doing the hand bra thing on the cover.
Okay.
It's like a total side boob hand bra.
She probably would have been a great teacher.
Oh, yeah.
She probably would have been a fantastic teacher, but now she's going to make more money doing less.
I'd love to go back and put together a collection of pictures of my old high school teachers.
What?
From Florida.
Sexy?
Because they're all dudes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And none of them pose nude.
I didn't have any hot teachers in high school. In elementary school, I had some fucking hottie teachers.
Yeah, did you bone?
Yeah, I fucked a couple of them, but like, I don't know. I like to think of it more as they fucked me, you know, out of an education.
Mm. Do you think that sort of affected your sex life?
I don't think so.
Got older where you're like, ooh, I didn't want somebody to choke me out in a minivan.
Listen, I, for the last time, did not ask if I could get choked out.
She just decided.
In a minivan.
She just decided spur of the
because
moment.
Because it had nothing to do with business. That's Godfather 2.
Oh, right.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
That was, you know, Roth.
Okay.
Ivan Roth.
Yeah, I got it.
We were talking about Godfather 2 earlier. I was saying it's the best movie, obviously. Ashley Burns, you agree, right? As a film critic, it is your duty to agree that Godfather 2 is the best movie ever made.
Best movie ever made?
Ever made. Or top two between Godfather 1 and Godfather 2.
No.
Well, then
it's
this...
It's Big Trouble in Little China.
Come on. Big Trouble in Little China? What is that movie with fucking, what, Kurt Rambis? What's his name?
Yeah, Kurt Rambis.
Kurt
and,
Vonnegut.
Matt Johnson.
That's right, Kurt. No, it's Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Fucking.
They're all Kurtz with a K.
His name was Mo Green, all right? And there isn't a plaque or a statue of him?
Brinsey just sent us the mugshot.
Oh no, this is a different girl. This is the best of thing that I just sent you.
Oh, they're doing the best of Florida. That's bullshit.
Was that the girl? That picture of the? Oh my god.
No, this is another girl who became like internet famous earlier in the year because like her mugshot's just ridiculous.
That's the attractive convict wanted in 50 states. That's a great joke.
She's pretty cute. I wish you guys could see this over the podcast.
Oh yeah,
if you could just see this through your earphones.
Think about a hot girl, a hot white girl with big DSLs and some dirty blonde hair.
Big DSLs. Oh, all right.
Dick
well,
sucking lips.
Mm. Oh, okay, thank you for clearing that up. I was wondering what that meant.
It's not an internet connection.
All right. Well, I think we can put this one to bed. What do you guys think? Yeah.
Do the thing.
I'm not going to do the thing, Brett.
He's
all right.
He's not a soundboard. He's
I'm not a soundboard. Soundboard.
All right. Well, next week, you guys, we'll probably be back. We're going to talk about some names and stuff that Brendan wasn't here for.
Christmas.
Have we just been saving it till Brendan comes back?
I was.
Is that why we
it.
Haven't? It's been like a month and a half.
No. Oh, not that name. Different name thing. Don't worry about it, man.
Lacrosse name thing.
Don't fucking worry about it. Right. You just shut up and God. Quiet your face.
I hate this podcast.
I do too. Anyway, frogcast@gmail.com. So if you got any weird voicemails like those, wow, those are fantastic. So if you get anything like that, definitely send it over. If not, you know, just send us the normal stories about poop and
karate geese
and
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. any Shia stories, that would be good too. Frogcast@gmail.com, 415-275-0030. Until next week, good night. And I won't say it because Brenda's not here.
Good luck.
Goodbye.